This is Small Biz Spotlight, featuring up-close interviews with small business leaders and entrepreneurs across America. And now, here's your host, David Wolf.
Few entrepreneurs on the planet have the opportunity or ability to combine their talent and touch people's lives as an artist, apply their skills, magnetism as a business builder, in everything they do. Such is the case with our guest on this segment. For more than 30 years, pianist, composer, and entertainer Bradley Young has engaged, entertained, and delighted audiences across a full spectrum of live events, parties, meetings, and recording venues. He's well established as a dynamic player, composer, and band leader in every genre, from blues, soul, boogie-woogie to traditional and contemporary jazz, which he says is his first love. Like so many businesses out there, times are changing and the entertainment entrepreneurs are being tested. They're being pressed to continually reinvent themselves, inventing new ways to adapt to the changing business environment. Joining us on the line to shed some light on all of this from his offices in Los Angeles is pianist, composer, and entrepreneur Bradley Young. Brad, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Dave.
To lay the groundwork for the segment, tell us what your company, Bradley Young Entertainment, is. What does your business do for its clients?
Primarily, we furnish very, very high-end entertainment for special events. So that could be corporate events. We do a lot of not-for-profit work, so a lot of the black tie galas, you know, benefits, things like that. Weddings, yeah, that type of thing.
Okay.
And I contract the musicians, and then I act as producer and music director for the musical entertainment side of the events and work very closely with the clients, whether it's, let's say the chairs of a benefit or, you know, bride and groom and their families, the corporate side, someone that has been hired from within the corporate world to put together a corporate event, and they have a vision for the party, and so I'm working very closely with these individuals to help them really bring their vision of their event to fruition.
We're going to circle back to your business model itself, but I wanted our listeners to know what the context of all of this is. Take us back to young Bradley Young, jazz pianist, the mid-80s, the early 80s, even before. What initially fueled your desire to transform this ability to play jazz like you do as an artist into building a world-class entertainment business?
Well, can we talk about Berkeley and the fact that you were there and that's
absolutely
how we met?
Absolutely. Anything goes here. It's the internet.
Well, for the listeners, this is kind of funny, but I met Dave at Berklee College of Music in Boston, and we were the fiery young lions of jazz, and that was my whole world, was just focusing on growing as an artist, I know Dave felt the same way. And then, upon returning to Chicago, I continued playing jazz, but I really felt like I wanted to expand and do other things than just be out playing in bars and, jazz clubs. That was pretty much the limit at that point, other than, doing recordings. I really wanted to wanted to wear more hats. I felt there was something innate in me that was driving me from an entrepreneurial standpoint, and so created my company initially. We started doing smaller events, with a little bit more of an emphasis on jazz, and I would do, three or four or five-piece ensembles with a singer, and we would end up doing a lot of jazz that people were dancing, and then I started to expand the repertoire and doing more pop and rock and roll and danceable music, and then people started calling me to put together larger bands, 10-piece, 12-piece, 15-piece, and so I started amassing a repertoire with arrangements, music that would be arranged for large bands and orchestras, and it sort of just evolved, and before I knew it, the company just, I don't know how to say it, it just sort of evolved. I know there was a great degree of intentionality about it, but it sort of just evolved. I don't know how much better or more articulate I can be about it.
Yeah, that's good.
It was almost like I blinked an eye, and all of a sudden I was just overwhelmed with clients that were looking for this kind of entertainment.
Yeah, you had a lot of inbounds at that point. I'm curious, you've mentioned offline that you had a mentor in the business in the Chicago area, as I recall. Tell us about how that interaction helped shape your company.
Well, the gentleman's name is Alan Kay, and I've always had a warm spot in my heart for this guy. He When I first got back from Berkeley, you know, I remember talking to a lot of musicians, and it was sort of like, well, here I am. What do I do? And people are like, well, you can do this. You can go out and start working in clubs. And then a number of people were like, oh, you should start doing private parties. And I said, well, how do I do that? You know, and everybody was like, you need to call this guy Alan Kay. And I was at the time, you know, who is Alan Kay? Well, Alan was a very successful band leader and contractor. He had a company in Chicago. And so out of the blue, I remember calling him. And he was very warm and very receptive. He basically said, well, why don't you come on over? It was pretty much that random, that spontaneous. And so I remember driving to his house, walking into his home. And he said, all right, sit down at the piano and let me hear you play. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I sat down to play for him. And I remember looking over at him, and he was seated across from me on his couch with his legs crossed and his eyes closed. And I played for him for about 15 minutes. And then after that, he said, okay, I'm putting you to work. And I was like, really? And he, the first gig I ever had after college was a five-night-a-week steady solo piano engagement at a Oak Brook hotel. So I was working there five nights a week. And, you know, here I am 22, 23 years old, and I was, you know, making really good money, and it was wonderful. And then sort of gradually, he would start calling me for these engagements, private engagements. He's like, do you want to play with a group at such and such party? And maybe at the beginning it was a trio or a quartet. And
yeah.
You know, and I was like, sure. And so that's, he gave me my start. And then the mentoring really continued, because then when I started getting called to do bigger orchestras, I said to him, I was like, how do you do that? And he would literally say, well, I'm doing a private party at, let's say, the such and such hotel. Why don't you come in and sit at my elbow and take notes? And I would go, literally, and, you know, put on a tuxedo and go and sit on stage with him and watch him and take notes. I mean, this is what he wanted me to do. This is unheard of today. You know, so, I mean, he was amazing.
You're speaking to his generosity, I guess, when you say that.
Yes. He's an amazing, amazing, wonderful guy.
What is it that, Bradley, what is it that Alan Kay got about building this kind of business that many band leaders just don't get?
Well, I think he had a great sense of, well, first of all, social skills, people skills. He was great with his clients. He was a very musically aware guy. He was a good pianist. He wasn't a jazz musician. He was primarily a classical musician. I mean, he actually played with the Chicago Symphony.
Oh, wow.
You know, in the, I guess, the late 60s or something like that when he was a young man.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he his thing was he could read anything. I remember him sitting down at the piano and sight reading some, you know, I was probably a Chopin piece or something, and I was like, whoa, you know.
Yeah.
That was his thing.
Yeah.
And I think he also kind of got that, you know, my thing was more rock, blues, pop, and jazz. So there was a mutual admiration society there. But as far as his, he was a great, just had a great business sense. And he built this company at the time. It was called Music Incorporated. They, at the time, were, I think, the most successful music booking and contracting agency in Chicago through the 70s and 80s. Obviously, in the 90s, other companies, you know, came about, and, you know, sort of the market became a lot more competitive, but at one time they were it. So great musician, great people skills, great entrepreneurial instincts. You know, he really built that business up and had great relationships with a lot of the key people at that time that were involved with recommendations, you know, referrals, you know, companies that
yes.
did event planning and things like that.
Yes. We're visiting with Bradley Young. He's the founder of Bradley Young Entertainment, pianist, composer, producer. The website, www.bradleyyoungentertainment.com, just like it sounds. The matter of dealing with this customer service piece that Alan Kay knew how to do, and you took and did your way, planning of a wedding, a corporate event, these are very emotionally intense engagements with clients, perhaps beyond what many of our listeners experience, because you're selling really an intangible future event. How do you manage the client expectations, the profound emotional charge that they come to you with about their one wedding or their one bar mitzvah or their one huge corporate event that so much is resting on? How do you manage that, and what do you think is working in terms of your approach to it?
Well, I think it's a matter of taking the seed of an idea at the beginning stages when I first sit down with a client and getting a sense of their excitement and maybe a little bit of their sense of, you know, they're looking to me to give them a measure of creative support, guidance, nurturing, passion about what I do, but of course listening very closely to their concerns, and then of course they're going to have some ideas. Most clients, even though it is an intangible, will come to me and say, the music at our event is the most important element. You know, we already have a venue picked out, let's say. We know that we're going to serve this kind of a meal. We have this kind of a color scheme almost envisioned, you know, or this kind of, these are the flowers we want. But we definitely know we want great music. And then I sort of take them from that inception through the planning stages and give them different ideas about all the different kinds of music that can be played. For example, at a wedding, you're starting with music for a pre-ceremony, so there's music that's taking place as your guests are coming into a space for about 20 to 30 minutes, and that can be anything that they want, from classical music to jazz to Brazilian to pop music. Then there's actual music that I help them, you know, we sort of co-create this event together. So the playlist for, let's say, the ceremony itself, the processional, the music during the actual ceremony, if any, the recessional. Then there's a cocktail hour. There's music there. Again, they can have a lot of different styles of music. And then for the reception, again, it's really giving them a lot of ideas about what is possible. You create possibility for them and then let them give you direction as far as, okay, well, out of all of those possibilities, let's say from, you know, the big band era of the 1940s all the way up to the most contemporary dance music that you could imagine, what styles and genres are you envisioning, meaning to the client, that would really resonate with your particular group of family and friends? And letting them contribute ideas, and then it's a lot of dialogue, it's a lot of interactive, you know, sort of back and forth, brainstorming, and then you co-create a playlist. Again, I think what they're hiring me to do is work from that list that has been co-created, and at the same time, the night of the event, having the ability to, they're giving me free rein to work from their request list, but also to do what I do best.
I love that. That's analogous.
Which is being spontaneous.
Yeah, yeah. And that's analogous to the sort of this idea about you set out to create a business plan or a party plan or a music design plan, but with the, you leave yourself room to improvise and change courses and adapt to the dynamics of the evening.
There you go.
That's beautiful.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, there is a great deal of intuitiveness. And I think that's what my clients are hiring me to do, is work closely with them, but be ready to go to plan A to plan B. And of course, the guests at the party would not be aware that that shift in plan has taken place, because you're really just following the flow of what's happening, the dynamic between the orchestra and the band. And that happens in a very, every party, it's sort of an unprecedented dynamic, because you're in a particular room with a particular group of people on a particular night, and that particular chemistry has never happened before and will never truthfully happen again. So you, a good music director that's doing events per se, has to have that level of intuitiveness and spontaneity to be good at what he does.
There's a lot on the line here. We're visiting with Bradley Young. He's the founder of Bradley Young Entertainment. That website, www.bradleyyoungentertainment.com, just like it sounds. Most every business model has been undergoing a structural change. This is, of course, evidenced most by the employment situation here in America. How do you explain the structural changes you're observing in the live music industry? You're an entertainment entrepreneur. How has it changed since you've been involved? How are you and others coping with it? Upstream to your clients and downstream to the musicians that you hire, the singers that you hire for these engagements, and even the party planners, what's changing in the industry?
I think that the trend has been a little bit more toward slightly reduced numbers of musicians and singers for some events. Not every client is going to want a 15-piece orchestra.
Yeah.
Obviously, with money tightening up a little bit, people are still, they're still planning events, they're still getting married, but they're, you know, watching their expenditures. They're trying to work with, you know, let's say slightly tighter budgets. So rather than saying you need to have a 15-piece orchestra, you know, some clients are saying, well, we only want a 7 or 8 or 9-piece band, and can you do that? And of course, my answer is yes. Yes, we can. And still do a fantastic job, you know, come in and play all of the different styles and genres of music authentically. The other thing that's obviously changed is, I think, the reality of pre-recorded music has taken a place alongside people's absolute reliance on having live music. You know, naturally, with options such as DJs or people having iPods now, you'll see online that people are, you know, doing iPod weddings. So, but again, thankfully, there are always going to be people that really value what a wonderful group of live artists will, you know, live musicians are going to bring to their event. But, you know, there are going to be some people that can't justify the expenditure. So I think that the reality is there are people out there that are, you know, at the initial stages of planning their event, whether, again, it's a wedding, corporate event, or whatever, they're looking at options and saying, well, if we have this much in our budget, would we prefer to just bring our iPod, you know, or hire a DJ rather than having a not very good band? Because obviously when you look at your budget, to get a really great band in there, you're going to have to spend a little bit more. And so then they're looking at the bands they can afford within a certain price range, and they're, some of them are opting out. They're saying, you know, why would we spend X dollars to have, you know, a mediocre band when for less than that we can at least hear the recordings?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's an irony here. The irony is that all of this really dates back, in my view, to the beginning of recorded sound, which goes back to Thomas Edison's day. The irony there is that all musicians want to be recording artists. We all want to record and have our music documented for posterity, and yet at the same time, the reality is that the beginnings of this whole trend toward replacing live bands with recorded music goes back to probably the right after the turn of the century, you know, 1910, 1915, 1920. I'm sure there were neighborhood bars and taverns that were replacing little polka bands or whatever kinds of bands were there with gramophones and with stand-up phonographs. And then later jukeboxes that were invented, you know, probably in the 20s and 30s. So people are in my business, musicians are, of course, looking and going, my God, look at what's happening. You know, all these DJs are making incursions into our work space. You know, we don't have as much work, the work opportunities that we once did. And they're thinking it's new. I'm saying, you know what, this has been going on for literally 100 years.
I love that. You're suggesting it's been a slow and incremental seismic shift in the way we experience music and really entertainment. Video, it probably is included.
Yes. Well, again, I mean, even if we're going to get into the experience of going out for entertainment,
you know,
if you go back and watch films from the 1940s, let's say, people were always going out to be entertained. They were going to supper clubs and nightclubs and seeing floor shows and going to ballrooms and dancing to live music. That gradually changed through the 70s and 80s with the invention of VCRs, and I think everything in our age, people are realizing that they can stay at home and be entertained, whether it's you know, renting a DVD or they have cable television or satellite television, or you know, it's a different world. People still go out for entertainment, but I mean, even the as I recall, the theaters. When I was a kid, you know, you would go to a movie and you'd walk in, and I'm sure you remember this, we both grew up in the same area in Skokie, which is a northern suburb of Chicago, Illinois.
Yes.
For example, the Old Orchard Theater, Dave, which I'm sure you remember.
Absolutely.
You know, you'd walk in there, and it was this gigantic theater, and you could seat, 500 people in there, 600 people in there. Well, the trend in the 80s was they would start cutting those theaters in half. Then they would start cutting them into quarters, and there were these little subdivided areas with smaller seating areas and smaller screens, and they would say, oh, it's the Old Orchard 1, or it's the Old Orchard 2, or the 3, or the 4. Well, that's the trend, because less people are going to movies in theaters. You know, they're waiting till the movie comes out on DVD. So once again, the trend is, you know, maybe they're not going out as much as they used to. However, in my business, it's always about something extraordinary, something special going on. So thankfully, people are still planning special events, whether they're corporate events, benefits, charities, fundraisers, and weddings, you know, and hopefully those will keep on.
And your business continues to thrive, if not survive, in the Chicago area. Predominantly, you're in Chicago, right?
Yes, and I do a lot of work in Los Angeles, done some special event work here. For example, right now I'm really focused a little bit more on growing as an artist, and I'm producing and arranging and playing on a new CD for a vocalist, and we were here yesterday in my home rehearsing for 4 hours, and in fact, right after this interview, we're going to the studio to continue recording tracks for that, and I did get signed to a recording contract with a West German label. There was a recording I did about 20 years ago with the jazz trumpet player Chet Baker that that just was released. So I got signed to a label, and I'm starting to focus on creating that my CD, my next CD for that label. So it's there's a little bit of the entrepreneurial spirit in me, and then the determination to, and the desire to continue to grow and evolve as a pianist and composer and recording artist.
I think let's leave it there for this time. We'll do it again. I want to continue to follow both your artistic path as well as the entertainment industry path. Our guest has been Bradley Young. The company is Bradley Young Entertainment. You can find them online, www.bradleyyoungentertainment.com. BradleyYoungEntertainment.com, just like it sounds. Bradley, thanks for joining us on the program.
Dave, always great to connect with you, and thank you so much for including me for the Small Biz America show. And I'm really honored to have been invited to be a part of it.
Pleasure was absolutely mine. What a delight. We'll do it again.
You've been listening to Small Biz Spotlight, up-close interviews with small business leaders and entrepreneurs across America. For more information about our guests or to subscribe, visit smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz.
Small Biz America.